We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
I know Matthew is not in the Gospel of John, but it directed me to several places in the Gospels what Jesus said about himself. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, you're already there. I want you to look at verse 41, but I want you to look at the end of the verse. Chapter 12, verse 41. And I have been having a wonderful time. And he says this, the last part, Jesus says this, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Let's pray. Father, we're very thankful that you gave us the Bible, you gave us the scriptures, and it tells so much about you. But sometimes we just don't understand. So you gave us the Holy Spirit, who confirms the truth in our hearts. And I pray that you would do that tonight. Help us to see things differently. I pray, Holy Spirit, that Christ would be seen. I pray that I would say the things I ought to. Keep me from saying anything I ought not to say. And then make us more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we'd ask. Amen. Amen. Now, I know about you, but I thought about this and I thought, what a dumb statement. I did. I honestly thought that. Because how in the world, if you're going to make a comparison and you want to make yourself a great prophet, why would you compare yourself to one of the worst prophets? Why pick Jonah? You see, there is a rule of comparison, and it's this. Your claim, not that it's true or not, but your claim is only as good as who you compare yourself to. So he's compared himself to the prophet Jonah. Now folks, if it were me, I'd compare myself to somebody else, because that way my claim would be that I'm better. For instance, let's just say I made this claim. I'm a better basketball player than my 2-year-old granddaughter, Zoe. What are you laughing about? Is that a great claim or not? Does that make me a great basketball player? No, it does not. See, your claim is only as good as who you compare yourself to. Actually, she's a better basketball player, but we're not going to tell anybody. But suppose I made this claim. I am a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. I didn't say it was true. I just said that's a claim. Would I be making myself, now which is the better claim? To be better than my 2-year-old granddaughter Zoe or Michael Jordan? I have just elevated myself tremendously. Make sense? So why in the world would Jesus say that he's better than Jonah? I mean, if you're going to say that you're a better prophet, why not say Elijah? No, wait. Double portion Elisha. Whoa, now that's somebody. Or Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or fill in the blank. And just about everybody, and then you get way down here, Jonah, of all people. Lord, you really don't, I mean, excuse me, but you're really belittling yourself. I thought you much better. Jonah, now think a minute. Why settle for someone who seems to be the worst prophet when there are so many others that are tremendously better? Think about Jonah. Jonah ran in the opposite direction when God told him to go to Nineveh. Great prophet. Jonah chose to be thrown into the sea and drowned rather than go preach to Nineveh. He'd rather drown than do what God said. Jonah, after finally preaching in Nineveh, went outside of the city, camped outside the city, hoping Nineveh's revival wouldn't last and wasn't real. Really? Jonah was angry that God would spare the lives of Nineveh, but would not spare the life of his gourd. Great prophet of God. There has to be some reason why he picked Jonah. And I stopped and I thought about it. Is he better? Yes, he is. Think about it. Jonah, when he went, he didn't love who he preached to. When Jesus came, he loved. So he came with great compassion. Jonah went with great prejudice. You ever met a prejudiced Christian? Did you see him in the mirror this morning? Probably did. We're so full of prejudice. God tells us to do something. No, I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell him myself. Might as well. Christmas time. We're very busy, are we not? And it's getting close to Christmas, and I had something that I had to mail out, some letters or something, and some cards. And I went to the post office over where Books A Million is. You're familiar with that over by 19 there. And I went there, and I ran in, and I got in, and I got right back out. I thought, woohoo, this is great. No lines. So as I'm coming out, I'm going over to my vehicle across the parking lot. And you know how when somebody's staring at you and zeroed in on you, you get that? So I'm walking, and I feel somebody looking at me, and I look up, and here comes this fellow coming towards me, zeroed in on me, carrying a gas can. Now, oh, no. He wants money. And sure enough, but I looked at him and I thought, there's something different about this guy. He's military. He has that look. Because he's looking at you straight in the eye and he's walking right to you like he's a man. And not like he's homeless. And I thought, oh, something's going on here. So he came up to me and he said, sir, do you have some money you can loan me? I need some gas. And I thought, yeah. I didn't say that, but we've all been there, have we not? And I started to reach for my wallet, and then I remembered I had that much money in my wallet, nothing. And I said, yes. And I looked at him and I said, no, sir, I don't have any. He says, okay, thank you very much. So I thought, I'm off the hook. So I get in my Jeep, and I got ready to start it up. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? And he says, Dave, he says, I want you to find that man, and I want you to help him. Okay. So I back out, and I'm looking in the parking lot. There are bunches of people. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I could not find him. How can this guy disappear that fast? So I drive through the parking lot. I'm going real slow, and I'm looking all over the place. And then I come around to where I'm supposed to make the turn and go out of there. And I go, okay, I'm off the hook. I tried, but I couldn't find him. Ever been like that? So I come up to the four-way stop. I'm to make a left to go out the entrance way by where all the birds are kept. And I'm looking, and it's clear, and I make the left turn, and I drive, and then, oh, no. There he is. And God says, there he is. And so I pull up to him. I put my window down. I almost said I roll it down, but that's my age. And I put the window down. I said, sir. He said, yes. I said, do you really need gas? And he says, yes, I do. I said, then get in. Let's go get some gas. He said, yes, sir. Thank you very much. So he gets in. And I know I've only got a short time before we get to the gas station, get it, and get back to wherever he needs to go. I never did ask him where he needed to go before he got in. We could be traveling for a long time. So he gets in, and so we chit-chat, and I introduced myself. He told me who he was, and we continued on. And I drove slow. And so I asked him. I said, sir, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I went, whoa. I went, oh, okay, that's a con job. Why do we do that? Because we're prejudiced. stereotyped. Anyway, to make a long story short, the man really was saved. He really was in the military. I said, Lord, why did you have me stop and help this man? It can't be just for gas only. And so we got to the gas station. We started pumping. Got him what he needed. He says, can I tell you something? I said, sure. He says, will God ever forgive me? I said, for what? He said, all the things I did when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh. I said, yes, sir. He probably already has. He says, now I know why you're the one who needed to pick me up. And I said, me too. Wow. And so I went back and I felt like a great Christian. I felt like Jonah. I don't want to do it. And I didn't start with compassion. But I ended with compassion. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that the Muslims ought to be nuked? Did you ever feel, you fill in the blank. Jonah. Prejudice. He didn't like the people. But you think a minute. Let's think about Nineveh. Nineveh, back in the 700 BC, was the capital of the great Assyrian Empire. It was a ruthless empire. And it was on the move to conquer more. And Israel was in its way. Everything that went on in Nineveh was against everything that God told Israel not to do. They were opposites. They were wicked. They were cruel. They decapitated people. They tortured. Very immoral people. And the next people on the agenda for the Assyrians was the nation of Israel. Can you understand where this prophet is when he says, I don't want to go there? And God says, well, why don't you want to go there? Because I know if I go there, you're wanting me to preach in 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. You're wanting me to preach that. But I know you well enough, God, that if they repent, that you'll spare that great city. And I don't want that at all. I want you to nuke them. I want you to get rid of them. They don't deserve. And I thought, no, we don't either. The walls of the city were anywhere from 100 to 150 feet tall and 40 feet wide. It stretched 8 miles around the major part of the city, but on the outside of the wall was the major part of the city, actually. They estimated there were 600,000 to a million people inside that city, and that's who he had to go to preach to them. Big city, not a small little town. And so here he comes, a Jew, to preach to these people. In 40 days, God's going to destroy you. How long do you think you'd last inside of an ISIS town preaching that, knowing that they know that you're a Christian? This is what he had to do. He wasn't afraid of that, his life. He was just afraid God would spare him. How seriously prejudiced he was. But when Jesus Christ came, he came with great compassion, and he preached salvation to us. The interesting thing is, when Jonah went to Nineveh, If you were to go around it, the scripture says, it would take you 3 days to go around the entire city, not just the walls, but the entire city. 3 days journey, not in a car. On a camel, maybe, but not a car. But 3 days journey. The Bible says that he only went in 1 day's journey. If it took 2 days, he'd have to change his message to 39 days. But his message was in 40 days, God is going to destroy this. So he went in 1 day and he preached the message. So that meant there were 2/3 of the city that did not hear that preaching. But according to the scriptures, the people that did hear it repented, and the revival spread and people got saved in the whole town. Repented. The whole town. Now, I would say that's some bragging rights for a preacher, don't you think? There isn't any other prophet that has that kind of bragging rights. So all fairness to Jonah, he was pretty good. But you see, the difference is, it wasn't the prophet. It never is about the preacher. It's always about the message. Isn't that right? Another thing about Jonah. You see, Jonah, we know the story. He got swallowed by a what? A whale. He was in there for how long? 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the whale. Now, there isn't any other prophet that can say that. And he was spit out on dry land. And he walked around. There isn't any other prophet that has that bragging rights. He made it alive. So that's pretty good. But yet Jesus did better. Because Jesus died. And he was buried. And he arose the third day. Which is a step above. So he is better. But let's take a little look at the context. You see, Jesus arose from the dead. Jonah just arose from a whale. Jesus preached with love. Jonah preached with prejudice. But let's look at our context and let's see the context that the statement is made. There's a greater than Jonah that's here. Look at the word of verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. Isn't that interesting? Things haven't changed. Do you know that Christians are looking for signs? If you just give me a sign, send somebody back from the dead. Ooh, isn't that neat? Or send me a sign. Let me win the lottery, then I'll know. Just send me a sign that you're real. Like a blood moon. How many saw the blood moon? What? For real? I did. I went out to see what all the commotion was about. And guess what happened? The next day came. Show me a sign. And this is what these people wanted. They wanted a sign. So what does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said to them, oh, no, you shouldn't read this next part. You really shouldn't read this. This will hurt your feelings. Notice what he says. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a what? A sign. Who seeks after a sign? I take that back. I really don't seek after signs. No, I take that back. That was somebody else. That was my neighbor who said that. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. He says, but. And there shall no sign be given to you. But the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Hold it. Wait a minute. Jonah, according to the scriptures in Luke chapter 11 verse 30. Jonah was to be a sign to the people of Nineveh. He had to be a sign to them. A sign for what? If he went in there and started preaching. They're going to look at him and say, who in the world are you? And he says, I'm of God. Well, prove it. Well, you know that story these fishermen been telling all over the countryside about a prophet of God who was thrown in and got swallowed? I'm him. You see, we get this a little mixed up. Did you know that from where the prophet was called to do and go and preach in Nineveh, did you know that the city of Joppa was 600 miles from Nineveh? He had to travel a great distance. It doesn't really say where the whale threw him up at, but it was a great distance inland to travel to. Now, I know we don't have televisions back in those days. I know we didn't have telephones. I know we had telewomans. But I'm going to tell you something that's better than that. They had telefishermen. And fishermen can tell stories. And I do not think that after those fishermen in that great storm with Jonah sleeping in the bottom of the boat, after they threw everything off that they continued on their journey, I believe they went back to get more cargo. Why go to Spain? Why go way up there to Tarshish? Let's go back, continue our journey after we... And they told the story. And the story spread, and it spread, and it spread. Look, it was 3 days spreading before Jonah even got started on dry land. It was 600 miles to get to Nineveh. The story is spreading. So he goes in the town, and he says, hey, I'm going to tell you in 8 words my message. Don't you wish more preachers would preach like that? And they said, who are you? I'm Jonah, the prophet. Oh, that was a sign that he is of God and is who he says he is, a prophet of God. He says, that's the sign. And it was to Nineveh. And Nineveh believed that it was a message of God. But watch what he says in the next part of verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's the sign that you and I are given. As Jonah's was the sign to Nineveh, the sign that we have today. Wait a minute. The scribes and Pharisees are asking a question. Give us a sign. A sign for what? We want to know if you are who you are and who you claim you are. What was Jesus claiming to be? The Son of God, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the great I Am, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, and many more. Well, we need proof, the scribes and Pharisees say. We need a sign that you are who you say you are. And he says, I'll give you a sign. Even though you're an evil and adulterous generation. How can that be? He's talking to the great religious leaders of that day. You see, God chose the nation of Israel to be the lighthouse to the rest of the world. That this is God and this is his message. But they weren't doing a very good job of spreading the message. So he says, you know what? You're just like an evil and adulterous world, generations. He says, but I'll give you a sign, and here's the sign that I am who I say I am. When I die, when I'm buried, when I arise the third day, you will know that I am who I say I am. Wow. And that's all you need. Verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. What generation? The people Jesus is talking to right then and there. Those people who have Jesus Christ right there walking. Oh, that's my sign. Yeah, I forgot that one, Lord. If you would just come back and talk to me face to face, I'll believe. He says, that's not the sign. That's not it. Why are we looking for extra things when he's giving us the very best thing? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now watch. He says, Nineveh, The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, you folks that I'm talking to right now, he says, and shall condemn it. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of one of the worst preachers in the world. Well, he was. And says, and those people, they repented. And you have before you somebody who is greater than Jonah. And you will not repent. Whoa. Does that add a little bit to this meaning here? There is a greater than Jonah. And you better listen. Because there's going to be a judgment day. And the people of Nineveh will come and judge you and condemn you because you have the Son of God right there. See, with Jonah, it wasn't the message that was, or the messenger that was important. It was the message. Unlike with Jesus, the messenger was important because the message was about the messenger. Jesus Christ. So not only was his message good, but he was the message. And that makes him far greater. So, why in the world did he pick Jonah? Are you getting a good picture now? Because here were these people who were wicked, who were conquerors. And they heard an 8-word sermon from one of the most prejudiced preachers on earth. And they believed. And standing in front of these scribes and Pharisees was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the Lamb of God. And they would not listen. And they sought to kill him. Better? He was much better. Now you think a minute. Here he is. And he says, this is the sign. Remember when Jesus, after he arose, and he went into the upper room where all his disciples except one was, who was that? Thomas wasn't there. But everybody else was there. And he walks into the room. And he says, peace be unto you. And I'm sure there was a lot of conversation going on. Do you know why Thomas didn't go? Because he didn't believe in the resurrected Savior. He didn't believe. And after they got done and Jesus left and they got done, they came running back to Thomas and said, he's alive! He's alive! And they said, no, he's not. I don't believe your report. I need a sign. I need to touch him. I need to see the nail prints in his hand. I need to put my hand in his side where the spear went into. And when I do that, then I'll believe. And they said, by the way, Jesus is coming back. Come with us. And Thomas went. And he came to through the door. And who does he zero in on? Thomas. He comes in, hardly says a thing, and then he comes right over to Thomas. Thomas! Look at my hands. Thomas, take your hand and put it in my side. The only sign you're going to get is the resurrected Christ. And here he was. And what did Thomas say? And I love this. My Lord and my God. He believed what Jesus said on who he was. He is very God. Because he saw the resurrection. The sign was given. But Jesus didn't stop there. He looked at Thomas and says, Thomas, you believed because you see me. You handle me. Remember what he said after that? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are they. Oh, if he would just walk around and if I would just hear a voice from heaven. Sometimes we hear voices and they're not from heaven, but anyway. Somebody asked me, he says, you know, if God would speak from heaven, all the world would bow down and worship him. If he would just talk, if he would just make himself known. And I said, okay. And then you get up tomorrow and say, God, maybe you ought to speak one more time just to confirm that's what I heard. And he speaks again. So 1 year later, he haven't heard from God. Just make sure you're alive and make sure I understand. I mean, how many times does he have to talk? He says, you have one sign. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those fellows saw it. Thomas saw it. And Jesus says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have. And the reason he chose that direction, because I don't have the money to go to Jerusalem. And if Jesus was there, I really don't have the money to go see him. So I wouldn't be able to do it. And then what about all those blind people who could not see Jesus face to face? Or how about fill in the blank? See, the reason he says, blessed are they that believe and have not seen me, because everybody can believe by faith. And that's the way he chose. Because we are saved by grace through sight, through signs, through hearing voices, for by grace are you saved through faith. And everybody comes under that category. See, you believe what you want to believe. Thomas believed what he wanted to believe. But he had the opportunity to see the resurrected Christ, literally. But now he's in heaven. But you know what? We have something pretty good. We have a completed book. And we can read about it. But it doesn't stop there. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and you know how people say, well, I've tried to read that and I don't get it. And somebody challenged me. And it took 3 times in 1 week for me to go through and read the Bible just a little bit different. And the Holy Spirit says, see, didn't know that was in there, did you? Never thought about that, did you? You know what? Even though it's been November, December, and now January, it's been 3 months, and I'm still stuck in John. But I'm at chapter 19. But I'm having a ball. And the Holy Spirit is opening my eyes because I want them to be open to the truth. And he sure is making it fun. We have a job to do. There are a lot of people that are waiting for a prejudiced Christian. And we are. To just cross the street and tell them about Christ. Do you know we still have the greatest message that can meet the greatest need for a great deal of people? And Jesus is that message. And it's up to us to tell them about Christ. I don't always feel like it. I'm always I'm sometimes judging people out of prejudice. Here comes that homeless guy. Oh my goodness, he's hitting me up for money. When the Lord says, I want you to go. And we run to Tarshish. We have a message. It's the message that's important. And God has just chosen us prejudiced people to give that message. And I hope and pray that when you give the message, that you'll not be like Jonah afterwards, but that you'll be broken and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me the privilege of giving the greatest news in the world.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.